Good evening, everyone.
Hey, how's it going? Here we are.
We're here again. We did a little, I guess you could say, bonus stream last night. And why is my camera was out of focus. I'm like, why am I blurry? we did a little bonus stream last night to see if we could get my stream running a little smoother by using restream.io. So we're actually streaming on Twitch right now as well as YouTube.
Yeah.
But for anyone watching on Twitch, we don't really have the Twitch chat open. The majority of our audience is on YouTube, so that's the chat that we're looking at. It seemed like the stream went really well last night in terms of running smoothly. So hopefully this means that I can stream well again. It just seems like, I don't know.
You seem to just have it with YouTube
I
itself.
I have a connection problem with YouTube specifically. You know, it was funny because when we released the Cameo episode on, what was it? Was it Monday? I think it was Monday.
Yeah, it was last Monday.
Mm-hmm. Which is an unusual release date for us, but you know, we get things out when we can at this point, I guess.
Yeah.
I was actually able to have it finish uploading to Dropbox and downloading to you at Dropbox, and it was like
34% or something like that.
It was going to take like an hour and 45 minutes longer for me to finish uploading it. I asked you, like, how long would it take? And you're like, oh, like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So we canceled my upload and you uploaded. So it's crazy how my YouTube connection seems to be crap.
It's like, so weird. I don't know what the deal is.
I pay good money for supposedly decent internet. So, you know, I pay for Time Warner's second highest tier. And their highest tier doesn't offer a higher upload speed. So that's why...
I have no idea. It's been a real pain, I think, for us. And hopefully this is the answer.
Yeah, at least for streaming, but you know, there could still be issues with
the uploads. It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal, no. All right. So so Cameo was, you know, it was kind of fun, I think, to do compared to some of the other rare after Nintendo episodes, because you know, there's this history. You know, here's a game mm-hmm. that I expected to be playing on my GameCube, and it was not on the GameCube at all. It was on the Xbox 360, and that wasn't the same experience with Grabbed by the Ghoulies, which I believe had been prototyped on the GameCube but not announced. Mm-hmm. Conker, of course, you know, Conker was a remake of a game I was familiar with, but, you know, again, the remake had not been announced for a Nintendo system. So this was just interesting to kind of look through all that, and I got really excited when I saw that someone bought, I believe it was on the Assembler Games forums, bought an Xbox development kit that had a seemingly near finished version of Cameo on the Xbox. This game had been previewed E3 once or twice, I believe. It had been previewed on the GameCube and at E3. I don't know how far along it could have been at that point. It looked pretty different. Cameo's design was a bit different. Just a lot didn't really seem to carry over to the final game, but this is almost exactly like the final game. There are notable changes, but what someone said, I had a hard time finding information about exactly just how much there was to this version, but someone in the comments section said that it's content complete, supposedly.
Which is absolutely insane.
Absolutely insane. You know, it was kind of funny when I was looking through the...
But I guess, you know, it makes sense that it was ready at launch then.
Right, right. They were able to get it over pretty quickly. There was, when I was looking around the uncompiled ISO, I found, like, I looked at some FMVs, and there was, like, an FMV that was, like, a sketched version of a... of an FMV, like, you know, like, so there was obviously some very unfinished stuff. Some of the sound effects seem unfinished, some of the music seems like it might be temporary, but for the most part, the level design, the enemy designs, a lot of, as far as I can tell, a lot of, you know, the encounters and stuff like that, you know, carried over straight to the final version. One of the big differences is that the final game has that overworld area, the Badlands, that sort of more like an underworld. There's like, it's weird because they wanted, like, I guess I could just start playing the game to explain this, but they added this whole section that's just this big battle area, mm-hmm. that, you know, obviously because they could push a bunch of enemies with the Xbox 360, and that was not intended to be in the final game. And there's some interesting differences. But before I get into the game, I did just want to show. So I soft mod my Xbox specifically for this. I had expected that I would soft mod my Xbox at some point for some reason, and it ended up being for this. I didn't know that this existed until I'd finished the Xbox 360 game, was just looking into things to feature in the episode. But this is a Xbox controller port. I mean, a ton of people in the chat probably know all this, but I'm definitely an Xbox newbie. So this is, you know, news to me. This is a, of course, I knew about SoftMind, but I didn't know how to do it. This is a, you know, it goes in the controller port, and on the other end is a female USB. You have to get you have to get a very specific. Basically, what it's doing is it's acting like one of the memory card slots for the controllers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to get a 4 gigabyte or less memory card. It has to be specific. It's hit or miss whether it will actually work. I found this connector on Amazon, and in the people also bought section, there was this USB drive. So I thought, well, I'll just buy that. And sure enough, it worked. So there's a bit of a process to it, but it's actually not very difficult at all. You know, it's been years since I did my Wii soft mod, so I can't really remember how it went. But to me, it felt less scary than soft modding the Wii. And you need to have a game. You need to have either the original Splinter Cell. What is it? Mech Assault? Something like
that? First Mech Assault.
And 007 Agent Under Fire. I used that because I found it. My local game store had 3 copies for $5 each, and so I got that, which you know, I'd previously beaten the GameCube version. I don't have it anymore, but so that's not on my backlog or nothing. So that was a good grab. So anyway, yeah, this just goes in here. And,
so you know, what was the actual process then? You know, you have to boot up the game and.
You have to download some software, put it on the USB drive. Well, you format the USB drive in, regular FAT? Am I right on that? I think it's regular
FAT 32.
I don't think it's FAT 32. I think it's just regular FAT. I don't know. Don't take what I'm saying here to be, you know, absolutely how to do it. I followed some form guide for the most part. And you format it, and then you put it in the Xbox, and when you go to your data manager, it's like, it says, not formatted, drive not form, or memory card not formatted correctly, or something like that. And what it does when it does that, so you put it in a format that it can then say that, and then what it's actually doing when it says that is it formats it in FATX, which is the Xbox okay. FAT format. So it doesn't tell you that it formatted it, but it did. And so mm-hmm. then you take it out, you use this Xbox memory card manager software to inject a series of files into it, which does take a good bit of time, and then you inject the save for whichever game you're using for your for your exploit. And then you copy, you put this in back in the thing, and you should see the files there for the main file, the big file for the exploit, and the small file for the save. You copy those over, and then you boot the game. You have to like load it in a specific, you have to like load, like in the case of 007, you load a mission, then exit the mission, and then you go to a menu where it says load mission. You choose your file there, and then it switches from the game to the main exploit installation menu.
Oh, wow.
And then there was a number of things to do there. You have to do some backups of the EEPROM, and you have to choose a interface for your softmod, and you do a number of things, and I kind of just did what the guide told me to because I didn't really know any better. So anyway, yeah, it was actually not that bad. And so now I can play, you know, burned discs, which is how I was able to play Cameo. So let me switch
over. Is it easy to switch the hard drive? I mean, you have to get an IDE hard drive.
But there is more to it. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be an IDE hard drive. I think, you know, you can use like an IDE to SATA adapter and use a modern standard drive or a SATA drive. But I don't know a lot about that. That's something that
look at that. It's purple.
That's something I expect to do eventually, but yeah, that wasn't my priority right now. My priority was I want to capture my own footage of the Cameo beta. And so, I did so. So I've got here. bootleg, not bootleg disc. I don't know if you can call it a bootleg if it wasn't officially released. So there, Cameo dev build. So we're going.
That's cool.
We're going to put this sucker in and play.
All right, sounds good.
And it's kind of neat. The LED on the Xbox turns orange when you're in.
That's so weird. It changes the color.
I figured it was a green LED and that was it, you know?
Oh, you know, orange is another color that it definitely, like if you have a disk read error or something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's orange when you are in softmod mode, and it can also turn red for something else. But you can boot the system up into factory mode, and it looks like I'm dropping some frames right now, but
On the stream, it looks fine from here.
Well, I'm getting stream health.
Oh, there goes a little bit.
Blinking. It hasn't stabilized. It stopped dropping frames, but it hasn't stabilized that red and green yet. But yeah. So, what was I talking about? About the soft mod, something.
Yeah. You just put the disc in. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, so you can boot it up in a factory mode. Obviously, that's a little bit irrelevant now because it was mainly so that you don't get banned from Xbox Live.
Right.
But you can boot it up in, you know, just pure factory mode. But yeah, there's lots of different settings in here, and I'd love to explore it a little more. You know, like for example, you can have the menus, the system menus, being 720p or 1080i, which the menu itself, I believe, will only appear in 480i.
No, it does 480p.
Does it do 480p? The system menu?
Yeah. The boot up screen is in 480i, but then once it gets into the menu,
okay,
it goes to 480p. Okay.
And I think with this soft mod, I'll be able to work around, like, for example, my issue where Panzer Dragoon Orta on, you know, I've got a very late Xbox, maybe one of the last revisions. Its manufacture date is January 2005, I think, which those systems, from what I understand, are very good from a reliability standpoint. You don't have to snap off the clock capacitor and such, but it has issues with 480p and a small handful of games, one of which is Panzer Dragoon Order, and I think there's a workaround using the soft mod.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited that I've got this, and so let's launch this up.
All right. That's cool. So can you install games and everything then too?
Probably, but since I've got the stock hard drive, I mean, that would be a little overkill, I think, right now.
That's funny. It says the game's name as it's booting up.
Yeah. So, like, it's got this, like, you know, unique, rare title logo. That version's not in the final game. Compression is not super great. I wonder if they intend to put a better one on the final disc.
I'm sure they did.
This title screen is fairly similar, where it has the different elemental warriors appearing. I don't know at what stage of development they decided that she was not a fairy, that she's an elf. I don't know.
Yeah, that little bit in the episode, I was like, what?
Is that
true? I mean, did they really have a memo that said that?
No.
Because I could see them saying something like that.
Right, but I mean, obviously that was internal conversation. This menu is exactly the same. This book, the geometry, the background, the way that the pages float, this is identical to the final game, this menu here. The one difference is there is some sort of online function for the final game. But yeah, it's just crazy how similar this is. But yeah, the whole elf fairy thing, like, you know, she was explicitly supposed to be a fairy in the original previews of the game. You know, obviously she's got wings. I mean, have you ever seen an elf with wings? I can't think of one.
No.
So, I almost wonder if she was supposed to be, like, small. Like, on that Rareware FMV boot-up logo, like, you kind of get this impression that she's kind of small.
Right.
So I don't know. And at some point, I guess they just decide that, the idea of a fairy doesn't really jive with the Xbox target audience. And I read an interview with the game director who was, he says the cameo is kind of a sore point for him because he was, you know, the project lead from the beginning. And, he feels like it shouldn't have been released as it was. I don't think anything necessarily
released on the 360 even?
I mean, I guess he thought that there were just elements that didn't come together, and he mentioned specifically, like, you know, the elf fairy thing. Like, you know, I don't know if it was Rare that decided or Microsoft decided for them, but let's not call these people fairies, they're elves. But they made no effort to really change it. So I went back through this gate, and now I'm back in the Enchanted Kingdom.
Okay.
Which, when you play the Xbox version, this gate is closed off at first. And it is later on, like, once you clear the forest area, it unlocks, and you can use this as a shortcut to get back there. But normally there's a warp. I'm trying to draw a blank on where you get there. I think there's a warp somewhere in the Xbox version that takes you to the Badlands. And the Badlands is like the real overworld. There's just this huge battle that's always taking place with the fairies and the trolls. And the real world entrances, so to speak, the different regions are in the Badlands. And so you have to go from the Enchanted Kingdom, this place is in the sky, down to the Badlands, to the regions, finish the region, and then you've got a shortcut to those regions. But in this version, this was just purely the hub area.
Okay. Now, so which approach do you like better?
I mean, it's obvious, I feel, that the Badlands were tacked on, but I thought it was kind of cool that they used the power of the Xbox 360 to make it really feel like there's this, like, serious conflict. Like, you're not just hearing that, oh, we're at war with elves. or at war with the trolls. Another thing that was sort of tacked on, that as far as I can tell is not in the Xbox version, is a day-night system. Like, for example, there's this part in the video where I'm riding along this path. I'm actually passing under these gates right here. And it switches to the Xbox 360 version, and it looks just a little bit darker. And I thought about re-recording that shot because I was like, well, I don't want the colors to be too different. But, you know, it was close enough, I thought, and kind of in some ways emphasized the overall difference. But it's not that the Xbox 360 game is less vibrant, but that shot was actually taking place, you know, as it was nearing dusk. So there's this day-night system that, as far as I can tell, is just because they could. There's no gameplay impact whatsoever. But yeah, the layout of this Enchanted Kingdom is very similar. I mean, it's crazy, like, you know, the grass looks pretty darn good.
I think so.
You know, the game
You know, you talk about how tall grass like that, you know, will automatically make you like a game generally. You know, I'm kind of the same way about if you can see the shadows of clouds on the ground. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had this very strange memory. And, you know, it's been a long time since I played Sonic Adventure. So I could be wrong, but I have this memory of playing Sonic Adventure and I'm not sure if this pathway is in the final version. I wonder what's up here. I have this memory of playing Sonic Adventure in EB Games, like, right when the Xbox was released.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Xbox, Dreamcast was released. And I just have it just blew me away how amazing it looked. And I think it was maybe just because the textures are so high quality, but, like, I have this memory of seeing individual blades of grass. And then I went and played Sonic Adventure sometime later. I'm like, wait a second, that's just a nice looking texture.
Oh, you mean the grass texture? Yes, the grass texture in that is really good. You know,
but it's flat, right? It's flat.
Yes,
but memory when I played the first time, my eyes were just like so overwhelmed. I thought I saw individual blades of grass, and like so at that time, I was already thinking like, oh man, like that's the next step. Is like instead of these flat textures, grass textures, we're going to get this real grass. And I'm disappointed that to this day, it's not really all that standard. Like, you'll have this flat texture with maybe a few patches of slightly thicker grass, but it's just not this lushness that you see here. And I can understand, you know, the strain of open world and stuff, but still, like, we're several generations past this. Look at this on the Xbox. Like, we should, I mean, sure, in this super tall, you know, fantasy, you know, very, I mean, it's realistic in some ways, but also kind of stylized. I understand that, you know, to get realistic looking grass in every game would be a bit of a stretch, but I mean, you know, I feel like we should be past that. We should also be past the point where we have jagged shadows on people's faces. Like, my stance is, why are developers so insistent on running these engines that have these shadow effects that just aren't ready? They're distracting. You can add more depth to the visuals by including some of these effects, but some are still not ready for prime time, I think. I don't want to see jaggy shadows on someone's face. Like, you know, don't just turn that effect off if it's not going to work. So some other differences in this area. Like, I think the geometry is slightly different. The paths are a little more windy. I think it's a little larger, but the overall layout is basically the same. You do this whole opening scene where you storm the bad guy's castle, and it plays out almost 100% identically to the final game. And then you fail. You've got three elemental warriors, cameos, you know, not prepared, but she tries to go there. You come back here and you wake up in this hut over here. And by the way, these, this guy looks sad. Is there something up? So these, like, goblin-y looking people with the wings. In the final game, I didn't really show them clearly, but they are, they're fuzzy. They've got these very like Garfield-like cartoonish eyes. Yeah. And they are just gross and disgusting looking and just not very good looking character designs at all. These things are like kind of dark and evil looking, but like...
Like the rain cloud over their heads?
Well, no, just that one. There's like some others over here. Is there a first... Yeah, here's a first person view. I'll show you one. Like, I don't know. I think they look kind of cool. Like, they, like obviously they're not evil, but they just kind of look a little strange and creepy, but they're not evil. But in the final game, they're just this very generic, cartoony-looking things. And they...
They ruined the design, you think?
I think so in the final game. Like, it's a completely different design. I do not like them at all. Over here is the Mystic. She lives in this hut. Her design is slightly tweaked in the final game, but it's pretty similar. She actually makes me think a lot of a character who's, I think, a shopkeeper in Star Fox Adventures. but you wake up in this hut, and the Mystic has fully voiced dialogue in this. But it's very different. It's completely different dialogue. In the final game, it's super obvious that she's actually evil. Nothing really comes of it in the game itself. It's just kind of this thing in the end where it's like, the Mystic was a traitor. And then they like kind of hint at, like, you know, maybe she would play a role in the sequel, which there is some stuff online of like a like super realistic looking cameo, like a character model that supposedly is, I believe, like real stuff from a in development sequel.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't put it in the episode because I wasn't like 100% sure if that really was the real deal, and I didn't really think it fit in. But I did think it was interesting. So at one point they definitely were thinking about doing a sequel. But I don't think the game sold that
probably
well.
Probably before the game came out.
Yeah.
That's when they were thinking about it.
Yeah. And like Cameo looks like super realistic. Like, you know, she, like, I think she, she almost looks like Quiet with Cameo's clothes.
The new version?
Like her hair and her face looks like Quiet from Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't know, it's kind of weird.
Let's go to a different area. I mean, go to the game. You're just like running around like it's cool.
Tall grass. So I want to show you, there's, before I left, I wanted to show the inside of the castle. And, you know, so the basic geometry, very similar. But then they added those a parallax occlusion maps, like, to almost every surface in the game. It's kind of crazy because you don't really see that, like, in an obviously apparent fashion that you would see in modern games. It's either much more subtle or they use different texturing effects. I showed this area in the video, you know, pretty similar looking, but I guess the bloom and the lighting is more intense. There's more characters wandering around in the final. There's also a room over here where there was kind of an optional area where you could... like climb up the walls here once you've got Chilla, which is the elemental warrior that lets you like climb icy walls.
Mm-hmm.
Looks a bit different here. But it's crazy to me that this was at the stage of development that it was at, that it's like so well optimized. I mean, this is running at like a solid frame rate and everything. I got one lockup really early on when I first started playing. And I started over, and I didn't have any more lockups. One more thing I want to show before I go go to the first area, which is where I'm going to see if I can sort of push through and like make some like actual progress in the game, because it kind of just blows me away that supposedly this is content complete. I don't have any expectation of finishing it by any means, but it's still kind of crazy.
It's not that long of a game, it doesn't seem like. I think you finished it in a day.
I finished it in 2 days. Okay. It's like maybe a little over 10 hours. I actually thought it was going to be a little longer than that. Like, Rare's like N64 era games like tend to be kind of long. Especially ones like this. So in the Mystic's Hut, this is kind of interesting. There are four plates or something on the table. And these were not in the final game. And this green orb that's sitting there, the Mystic actually has a very similar orb in her eye. And those orbs were in the final game, you know, supposedly lost. And you can collect them and equip them for sort of a, you know, you might have higher attack but lesser defense or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I only found one or two of them. But what was interesting was in this game, the orbs unlock. I found the orb somewhere in the Enchanted Kingdom here, and the orb unlocked that gate to the forest realm. So these were intended to be an unlocking series. Now, what I don't know, supposedly this is content complete. So this opens the way to the forest area. That's probably to the water area and then the snow area. But then here's this red one. There is a fire temple that you have to protect in the Badlands. At one scripted point in the game,
it wouldn't be in this.
There's no dedicated like fire region. So what I don't know is there like a whole fire region in this version of the game, or did they plan for it? And obviously, I'm not going to play far enough to find out. But that would be amazing.
If it has like a whole cut level, essentially.
Yeah. So because like I said, there's really only three main areas. In the video. And so the fact that there are four unlock surfaces, whatever, in here is interesting. But another interesting thing I was going to say about the Mystic. In the final game, she's like so obviously evil. She's like, oh, you need to do this so that I can, so that you can, you know. I mean, she's like trying to like steal the things that you're going to be collecting, right?
Right, yeah.
It's like super played up and very obvious. In this game, in this version, I don't recall her talking like that at all. And the book, she refers to the book, which is called the Whatnot Book, and supposedly you have to have it to control the elemental warriors. It's the pause screen. There's this old man's face floating inside the book. Supposedly he was working on this book and got trapped inside it. And in this version of the game, she refers to him as her husband. In the final game, no connection like that whatsoever. So I think they completely changed their mind on them being related at all and turned her into a traitor, probably for leading up to a sequel that never happened. But yeah, this book interface, very similar.
Somebody's asking how you get the game not to freeze after the first location, but you haven't played that far. You never played that far in this version.
Well, I played, if by first location you mean the Thorn's Castle, because you fight through Thorn's Castle and then, you know, Cameo loses the three elemental warriors she has, and then you wake up in the Enchanted Kingdom. I played that far. I've wandered around this area, but I've not played any yet. And not, like, really played for real. It locked in the very, very first area, the first time you have to use Major Ruin, and I rolled up this slope and went inside a pipe. It froze inside that pipe. Second time I tried, I got past that part, and it hasn't froze on me since. I heard that development kits have more RAM, so apparently they get around bugs more easily.
Okay. Interesting. It seems like that'd be a bad thing. Because
yeah,
it would help them not catch things.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they can run on like you know, retail RAM specs. Oh, now this is interesting. This house right here is a shop in the final game. So let me see what's inside. Like, it's not a place that you go inside. Oh, it says Forest Bazaar. Okay. This is just like, this is not like an interior place. It's just like a shop front. And there's the guy there, and you just like buy through this interface. Now, do I even have any runes? I don't have any runes. Like enemies just drop a lot of runes in the final game, but none of the enemies that I fought so far did anything like that. This gate with that sort of a target on it, I sort of suspected that that would have been an expanded area in the intended final version, but if this is content complete, I'd be curious to see if it's no larger, because it's just a very small area, and they kind of like almost made it out like it was going to be a bigger sort of deal.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
you're playing in 40p, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now this is interesting. There's a boulder blocking this way, and there's just in the final game there's just like a bar in there, and it's mm-hmm. open from the beginning. So definitely a lot of tweaks were made.
Yeah.
So
I mean, who even knows? It could be a totally different level.
Yeah. Something interesting about the Ogre Swamp that's beyond that place with the target. There's this giant ogre ant, and he's got. I was going to make a reference to this at some point in the video, but I didn't. He's got these Shrek ears. And it's just like it's like such a relic of the times. I feel, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cause I mean,
like so many like characters, you know, like had that same, and they all had that same look on their face, mm-hmm. the same smile.
Yeah, definitely a... Sometimes, and she does this in the final game too, like sometimes like when you're swimming, like she slips under the water a little bit, but she can't actually swim underwater.
Like she just did? Like she just went, all right, decide her go down. Man, I can't stop yawning. I don't know what the heck's wrong with me.
So I think what I need to do... I think I need to get the second elemental warrior, which is Rubble. Well, I didn't use a whole lot. Oh, this guy's got a rain cloud. What's his problem? So one of the things Pummelweed can do, I just transformed into him. He can go underground, so if there's like a small pathway, you can crawl under it with him.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the transformations, like I didn't think they looked very appealing.
So I mean, some of them were kind of cool. I kind of like this guy, but a lot of them were... Rare is very hit and miss with character design, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they... I mean, maybe more miss than hit. I don't know. I love their games, but I'll admit there are some weird designs. And, you know, like, the character models are not that different from the final release. And you can definitely see, like, especially, like, some of the geometry in Cameo's face looks very, polygonal. You know, you can almost see, like, the vertices. So, you know, they did not spend a lot of time upgrading character geometry, but it was already fairly high quality, especially for the Xbox.
I wonder how much time there was between this version and it coming out on the 360.
Oh, I suspect like a year at most. Like I think
yeah, it seems like a lot of time though, really.
I suspect I think the time between them moving development to the Xbox 360 to the final release, I suspect was a year at most. Because it was like, what, November, right? I might turn the volume up a little bit, because there's not a ton of sound.
Oh, there's not a lot of music or anything?
I mean, there is, but it's just not... The audio component feels very unfinished. This is temporary text.
Is that what it said?
It says this is temporary text. There's another guy in here. Let me talk to him. That character that I just talked to was not in the final game.
Oh, okay.
This guy actually says something, though.
I got you the game, didn't I?
I think it was one of the games that you found locally. Like, you just found a good copy. Like, I was holding off on... Well, I wasn't really holding off on getting it. I just hadn't seen a good copy locally.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a Shadow Troll battle. Or in the final version, the voice of the Mystic is different in this version than the final version. In the final version, she says Trolls. Every other character says Troll, but she says Trolls. Never heard anyone say Troll before. These, in the final game, these look even worse. Like, it's just a mess. There's these bats flying around. It's very confusing to figure out where the Shadow Troll is. You can't use transformations. I just think these battles are just a complete mess, and I don't understand why they're like this. You collect these lost souls, and then you, like, shoot them at the Shadow Troll. It just feels like a confluence of unfinished ideas.
Right.
Like, because these Shadow Trolls have, like, I don't know, captured the Elemental Warriors or something, and then they're, like, you know, in this baby form. And obviously in the final game, or in the original vision, like when they were developing for GameCube, you were going to collect these, you're going to, like, collect them, like, almost like Pokemon, and raise them. So it makes sense that they had these, like, baby designs, but the final game is just nothing like that. Also, something interesting is that the first Shadow Troll only took one hit, the second one only took two hits, and then I think they took three or four after that. But they definitely take more hits in this version.
So it seems like you kind of get into this part, you have no idea what's going on. It's like, wait, like, what is even going on here?
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's just, it's ridiculous. Like, it's not, like, hard, necessarily. Like,
she's like, how did I get here, and, like, why is this even
happening? It's the same situation in the final game. Like, you're going into the Shadow Realm to fight the Shadow Trolls, which took the Elemental Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And these FMVs are similar, but I think not exactly the same as the renders in the final version. And another difference is that FMV plays in the final game. You approach the baby, and then it, like, goes inside Cameo, and then it plays the FMV where it transforms. Here, as soon as they're dropped, they play the transformation FMV, and then you pick up the spirit, so it's kind of reversed. I mean, functionally it makes no difference, but it's just an observation of the differences.
What's this guy? Is he, like poop?
he's rubble. He's
okay.
He's rubble. He's made out of rubble. Oh, that's interesting. They equipped it. It equipped him to two different buttons for some reason. You can't do that in the final game. So he just like chucks rocks.
Oh, I see. Okay. He chucks rocks. I just got Chuck Rocks at Magfest.
Which version?
Chuck Rock 1 and 2, the Sega CD version.
Ah. Wait, I thought that was... Maybe I'm confusing it with something else.
Nope, I got Chuck Rock 1 and 2.
I thought Chuck Rock was something different. I think I'm confusing it with a game that had like a Genesis and Super Nintendo version.
There's a Super Nintendo version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I should go get some of those magazines that I got. Yeah. I got 21 issues of EGM from 93 to 94 in the mail this week. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, basically we're just hoping for those to be a good, because I use a lot of Nintendo Power shots in this episode, and I like doing that. Like, I like being able to show, like,
you know, gives you something interesting to show, and it's like kind of a cool like time capsule thing.
Yeah, this is how people from the time were looking at this upcoming game or this newly released game. Like, it's
Yeah, and now I'm kind of like, I want to get some issues of game players and maybe even some old game pros, like really early game pros.
Mm-hmm.
And it got a little, like maybe some video games, computer entertainment, just to have a smattering of them. But I mean, I was really all about like a Game Fan and EGM are like for my magazines. But I read them all, I guess, at the time. But man, if I had kept all my old ones, that would have been the best thing ever. So, can I talk a little bit about my, the thing I was showing you earlier with my component switch?
Oh, yeah.
So, a couple months ago, I got a component switch. We both use a Impact component switch, which is, I think, 6 inputs and 2 outputs.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah. So, I got another one from Impact, which is a 3-input, 5-output one, so that I could split signal to like multiple displays. And recently I started to kind of notice some issues with it, such as a like kind of weird graphical, like, I don't even know. It's like a glitch, but it's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like a flash of color when the brightness on the screen changes. And I had this feeding, I had the signals from that feeding multiple monitors that like I used to shoot stuff off of. And I kind of was looking at it. I was like, you know, I don't know if I can use this, because then I started noticing some weird like color banding, like, it's hard to really explain what the issue is with it. I mean, I guess I could probably post a link to the video file in the chat for people to see. But it essentially just made me feel like it's unusable.
Yeah.
Like for shooting off screen and stuff. So, I mean, I didn't tell you about this because I guess I was a little embarrassed. I didn't mention it to you. So I've been kind of like struggling with this issue for a couple days, and I was like, well, I desperately need a splitter to feed these different displays. So I like just like on a whim went on eBay, and I got a second Extron switch. It was $40 shipped. And I use that to like feed from my other Extron into this, and then that feeds everything, and everything is perfect now.
By the way, how I just got through there, unless I'm forgetting something, I do not think that's how you got through there in the final game. Those trees with the single eyes were there, but I don't remember doing that. There's like no sound effects or music in this scene at all.
it's just showing it.
Yeah, showing your evil sister. Oh wait, that's a friendly dude. Why am I punching him?
So I got this other extra on Switcher, and it seems to like have solved all my issues. I think with that, like, I've decided like I'm no longer gonna be like tweaking my setup. I just need to like cut myself off from it.
We'll see.
I mean, I don't understand how I could like change or optimize things anymore.
Well, you've said that many times before.
Yeah, I've said it like so many times. But I mean,
there's definitely some optimizations I'm going to be trying to make between now and the Switch launch.
Right.
Because I need to run a new HDMI for the Switch. I'm going to need to implement an extra switcher, which I already bought the extra switcher. And two, I need to be ready to, I need to be ready for 4K for my, out of my PS4 Pro. I just want, you know, everything to be ready for it when I get a 4K TV.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not ready for it yet, but I want, you know, while I'm running a new wire for the Switch, may as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I use the switchers and the splitters that are, you know, 4K ready. I don't know if it's like the newest HDCP version. So I should be okay.
Someone on Twitter was telling me that the HDCP 2.2 did not matter for 4K and HDR on the PS4 Pro. I thought it did, but someone on Twitter said that it's just like a bandwidth thing. So you just need like HDMI. It only matters for like Blu-ray and stuff that you have the HDCP 2.2.
Oh, okay.
And something I didn't realize, what he said was that, like, when you turn HDCP off in the PS4,
it doesn't turn off.
It doesn't.
It's like a firmware issue going on right now, I think.
Oh, right now? There's an issue?
Yeah. And it doesn't affect us because we just leave it on anyways.
Okay, well, what he said was that he said that I was under this assumption that it blocked out like certain scenes like streaming can do randomly. But he said it doesn't do that. Like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like how like streaming can just block whatever scene the developer wants to do. Like,
right.
I thought that turning off HDCP still blocked the same stuff. But it turns out that's not true at all. That was just a bad assumption on my part. So stripping HDCP for 4K may not even be necessary at all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you can just turn it off in the system side, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. I thought that we wouldn't be able to capture everything that we wanted to capture from PS4, you know, unless we were able to ship the HDCP. But I'll still look into that because it just make things simple.
Right.
But the nice thing, I guess you learned from John Linneman that HDR is like all metadata.
Right.
So if something is incapable of HDR, but you have HDR on, you're still just going to be getting that full range RGB, digital RGB. But the HDR, if it is going to it, so in other words, you can be
your display is deciphering the metadata, I guess.
Right. So, in other words, if you have HDR on and you are splitting to your TV and capture device, and your capture device cannot do HDR,
you're just not going to see it.
You're not going to see it, but it's not like your colors will be incorrect in your capture.
Right.
That's what I was worried about. I was worried that it was going to be like, you know, it was going to be sending through like a different type of color space, but it's still going to be seeing the full range color space. The
right.
HDR metadata will be interpreted by a device that will interpret it or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I how I understand it to work. Yes. Speaking of John, did you watch his Halo DF Retro?
I didn't know it's
47 minutes long.
Oh my gosh! I've only played like the briefest bits of Halo, so.
Okay, and you want to play it?
I do want to play it, so I might hold off. Not that I see Halo as being a thing that can be terribly spoiled, but I remember at the time when I played it in Funko Land. Like, I remember just thinking, like, the level design looked very bland. But
for the time, you know, you go out in these, like, wide open areas, which is, like, not something you really did in first-person shooters, really, mm-hmm. in that way before that point.
Yeah, I imagine, you know, I would be much more accepting of that today. But, you know, at the time, I was like, you know, I don't want Xbox, you know. I think I've said before how, like, I kind of took this attitude with, like, when Sony, you know, released the PlayStation, like, it just made no sense to me why people were buying into it, because to me, it looked like the same thing as, you know, Philips CDI or, you know, 3DO. You know, it was just another electronics company trying to get in. And I guess at the time I definitely saw Microsoft as having more potential than I initially saw those other companies as having. But,
but you didn't really follow the development or anything of it. I mean, you ever seen... Have you ever seen the pictures of the development kit that was like a big silver X?
I may have seen that. I mean, I didn't follow it a lot up front. I mean, I remember the initial reactions when Microsoft announced that they were going to make a video game console. People were just like, ew, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting because that was kind of, in a lot of ways, it was at the height of Microsoft's, people didn't like them because they just like had an idea that they were just like, oh, they have a monopoly on everything.
Yeah. I've never really had an anti-Microsoft like perspective. I definitely was not interested in the Xbox at first at all.
Yeah.
And really, the first thing that interested me was, you know, Rare, really, but I think I was, like, so mad about it at the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
Betrayed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole, you know, the whole classic, like, Nintendo is doomed. Like, I think that was, like, the first Nintendo is doomed, was losing Rare. That was, like, the original is doomed.
It's tough to think of the 64 without Rare.
Yeah, it's...
I think it would have been a dire situation.
I think it would have been. And you know what's interesting is, like, I assumed most of the diehard, the people who are still diehard N64 fans, I assume most of them like Rare. But, I mean, I definitely think there were a number of people who were not into Rare back in the day, and those people have probably not really remained fans of the system, I would guess.
Yeah.
But Rare was like... was like the first not Japanese developer that I like really liked.
Yeah.
Like there were scattered. I mean, there were certainly scattered games here and there that, you know, that I got into, but it was like the first developer that I was like, I really like everything this developer does.
Do you think if they would have had nearly the momentum that they did without GoldenEye? You think of that pretty much made people say like, okay, I gotta, like, these guys are making good games for the system.
I mean, GoldenEye and Perfect Dark are, like, very different from their traditional output, I think.
Right, but I mean, I feel like that was the first time where I thought about the actual name Rare.
Well, I mean, for me, it was Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You're right, and I remember thinking, like, oh, these are the Donkey Kong Country guys. Yeah. You're right. So it was Rare. Donkey Kong Country was definitely the game to put them on, though.
Yeah, but like Killer Instinct Gold was the first N64 game. Which I don't have any particular interest in. Me being not a fine game guy. Oh, you know, I just remembered how to beat these guys. You throw your rocks on the other side of them and then let the rock roll back toward you.
Totally how do you forgot. Do that?
Like, your rocks automatically come back to you, so I just gotta, chuck the rocks over them.
You're trying to get them to, like, land on their heads.
And then, as they roll back to me, I can then come in here and punch them.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's a lot easier.
Yeah, I figured that out so quickly when I was playing the Xbox 360 version, but I... I forgot about it.
I can't believe like the 64 is 21 years old this year.
That's insane.
It's old enough to drink almost.
It is. Oh, or it will be, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Pretty crazy. I mean, I think about stuff like, you know, kids who are going into college are like younger than the N64. It's unacceptable.
It's gonna be interesting.
But yeah, I just like Rare just became so intertwined with Nintendo for me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they, like I said, they were like the people on the 64.
Yeah. And you know, their games were heavily delayed. You know, they had a reputation for delaying games and, you know, not sharing a lot of information. But you still look back. I mean, they
put out a lot of games.
They put out a lot of games. I mean, they had multiple teams, and they usually put out several games a year.
So, yeah, I remember thinking about, like Jet Force Gemini. I was like, where did this even come from? I had no idea, never even seen anything on it. I was like, this is another Rare game?
Oh,
because I was working retail. I mean, by the time Jet Force Gemini came out, I was working at Electronics Boutique by then. I mean, I worked there from 97 till...
So first Gemini is 99, right?
It had to have been, because, I mean, I remember thinking, like, where did this even come from? I had no idea it was even going to be released.
Yeah, I mean, I was hyped for it. You know, Jet Force Gemini is an interesting game because it's divisive in large part because the frame rate is so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like a pretty poor game based on what I've played.
I think at the time, if you were willing to give it a chance and like get used to the controls and if the frame rate didn't bother you, I mean, I think, you know, it was definitely an interesting game. I like it a lot, but it it's definitely a game that would be hard to go back to. But did you, I mean, do you know about, like, the original character designs for that game?
Not at all, nope.
It was originally, like, a very, like, short, cute sort of characters sort of thing.
Like, really?
It was shown off.
I mean, pretty typical.
Pretty typical. They were human characters, you know, not like, you know, Rare's got a lot of animal characters, but they were, like, you know, short and cute. I want to say, like, the whole shift to, like, the more adult-looking characters didn't happen until maybe around, you know, I can go back and see in my old Nintendo Powers when it was first shown off in, with the adult characters. But it was shown in Nintendo Power for years with the kid characters.
For years?
I want to say a couple of years, yeah.
I'm trying to get that on the Dark Cloud off of PSN. Before I forget. I think the sale ends tonight. Seeing if there's anything else that's worth getting. Anybody in the chat, the PSN sale is going on this weekend. Any must-haves?
You know, I downloaded, I showed on our little test stream last night some Rogue Galaxy, you know, which was another game that was on sale. And I was not really that impressed by how the PS4 handled it as a PS2 classic. I'd like to see how some other games work, but I expected to be more impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I have to kind of see it for myself because I just saw it through your stream. I feel like I need to.
Are you going to get that too?
No. No, I mean, if I play it, I will play it on the original version, because I have that version too. Just wondering what else there is. If anything else is decent. Maybe something that's like so cheap that I can't refuse.
I really want Wild Arms 3 to be on there.
Yeah.
I would definitely get that if it's for sale.
It would be, like, that'd be a good one to get.
It's a weird selection of games that are available. Like, I'm just me on sale.
Yeah,
but I mean,
that's kind of, I think that's kind of the appeal. These flash sales.
Does anyone know if Sony has even released any PS2 classics recently? Because, like, I wonder if that's, like, dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot that I removed my payment information from PSN a while back.
Yeah, I don't buy enough on there anymore to
justify keeping it in there. Can you just, like, use it once? Looks like you have to add a payment method. I have two-factor authentication.
Actually, I might have mine on there now that I think about it. I think it's Nintendo that I don't have it on.
Yeah, Rockstar is pretty much some ups.
Oh yeah, what is it? Red Dead Revolver's on there.
Yeah, and the Max Payne games are on there.
Like, I know that Red Dead Revolver was made by a totally different team. Wasn't that game originally published by, like, Capcom?
Something like that, or it was gonna be.
I definitely think, I mean, it's hard to guess, like, what kind of effects were going to be added to this game and sort of the final pass, but, like, I do think that Conquer Live and Reloaded looks better than this. Like, this looks good. Like, I mean, visually, it's a complete-looking game for the most part. You know, there's definitely little things, but you know, overall it looks pretty complete and polished. But Conquer just has this very solid polished look to it that I really like. I would say it looks more polished than the final version of this game, which I would say makes sense. You know, I mean, they did have to get this out as a 360 launch title.
Are you going to get Bomberman on the Switch?
I feel like I shouldn't, but I'm, like, really tempted to.
Yeah, you know, it's up on Amazon with a Prime discount. It's $39.99 at this point.
You know, I don't really care that much about this stuff, but... like, something about it gives me sort of second thoughts. I think it was on Digital Foundry I read it. It's like, it's 30 frames, which...
it's weird for something like
it's,
that.
Yeah, like, it's like, I don't... like, if it's a solid 30, like, I don't care. Like, that's fine and all, but it just kind of, like, makes me question its quality, because there's... a game like that, there's, like, no excuse for it not being 60, you know?
Yeah. But I can understand that.
But supposedly, like, it was kind of like a joint Nintendo-Konami thing. Like, they, like... it sounded to me like Nintendo wanted it to happen, so they, like... they helped. Yeah, I mean, like I say, like, I don't really care about 60 frames that much for that sort of game. Like, it's fine, but it's just, I mean, it's not like...
It makes you concerned.
It just makes me concerned that the development may have not been, the process may have not been what it should have been, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to hold off on it for now. I was, like, thinking about it, but I'm, you know... like, oh.
I've got it pre-ordered, but I don't care.
I
don't know if I'm going... I don't know if I'm going to keep it. It's tempting, though, just because it's, like, such an odd thing that's even happening, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I mean, there's definitely the perspective of, like, oh, I don't want to support Konami anymore, but at the same time, it's like... I don't know what good not buying that is going to do.
Yeah. Christopher in the chat, how much is Clouds of Heroes for the PS3 going for? Because I have mine as well. I've actually never opened it.
That's like something you want to keep for sure, I thought.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not selling that. It's a work in designs. Or
you know,
Gaijin Games. Sorry.
How close are you to a complete... working designs collection?
Complete working designs? Let me look. I was thinking
about that just the other day. But you can't be that far off. Like, and are any of the ones, like, actually, like, very expensive that you don't have?
Oh, yes. I have, like, a lot that are really expensive left to go. Let's see. So for the TurboGrafx 16, I'm missing Kadash, Exile, Wicked Phenomenon, and Bastille, which is, like, one,
I forgot about the TurboGrafx aspect.
That's 4 out of 6 games that I'm missing for the TurboGrafx. I have all their Sega CD games. For the Saturn, I'm just missing half of them, which is Magic Knight Rare.
Ooh, that's the rough one.
Yeah, Sega Ages and Shining Wisdom. On the PlayStation, I have 1, 2, 3. I'm only missing Ray Crisis and Vanguard Bandits, and I have all their PlayStation 2 games.
If money wasn't a factor, and you had to choose between having a complete working designs collection or having Snatcher again, which would you choose?
I would say the working designs.
I think that would be the right choice.
I could see that question coming as soon as if you had to choose.
I mean that's a very good question for you, I think. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's.
I mean, like I said before, I mean when it comes to. I think that like working designs games are like the only things that I like really consider myself as like a collector of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I just like want to have them all.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, like Snatcher would be an awesome thing to have. And you know, I used to have it. You know, out of all these, like I used to have Magic Knight Ray Earth and Vanguard Bandits. So I was like two of those. So out of all their games, I'm missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of their games I'm missing. It would be cool to have them.
Yeah,
I mean. You know, like I was just playing Ray Earth on the the SD card Saturn that I was gifted.
Mm.
And it's like it's a great game. It's like it's so cool. Like I still have my old save from it.
Did you beat it?
I did not beat it, but I played a significant amount. And it's like at a great time because I just like watched the anime and everything. When I played it, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool that it's, you know,
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was, yeah, Raystorm is on Tidal Legends too. I just kind of want the spaz version.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if I were to say, like, I'm a collector of any one thing, like, like, the only thing I can really think to say is, like, I don't know, Kirby, I guess, because, but it's, I mean, it's, I certainly don't own them all, like, in the box or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it almost feels lazy to me to say that, like, I collect, like, something and it's like, Nintendo, because... Because, like, to me, Nintendo is just, like, default. Like, of course, I'm going to get it. It's Nintendo, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
So it's like, not even a question for a lot of their stuff. I mean, it's not like I buy every Nintendo game, but, like, certain series, you know, Zelda, Mario, like, I'm always going to get... Except, like, the Mario, like, spin-off and party games, I don't get all of those anymore. But one time I did, you know, I own every single Mario-related game for the N64.
Yeah.
In the box, too. Like, I mean, because I did that back
then. Because there's almost nothing else to buy.
I mean, you're not wrong in some ways. I mean,
if you had the selection of games that were on the Super NES on the N64... I mean, I don't think you'd be buying. I mean, how many Mario Party games were even on the system?
Three, and the third one.
Did you play it enough to justify getting it?
The first two, yes. The third one, not really.
Yeah.
This guy looks almost exactly like he does in the final game. Oh.
Oh. Is he a tree or a mushroom?
He's a tree.
He looks kind of like a mushroom. But, I saw his top of him, and he kind of almost looks like the big mushroom from the Monster World games. An evil version. Yeah. Classic Heroes on eBay unopened is 210 by now. Interesting. What about the PSP ones? Specifically the Kickstarter backer exclusive version. Because I have two of the Classic Heroes 2 on the PSP. I got two variations. There's one for people that backed their Kickstarter that failed, and one that was for everybody else. So I have one of each.
Yeah, that was the only reason I got Dr. Mario 64. Because it came out in like 2001. I was like, I somehow ended up buying every single other game. I'm like, not stopping now.
Yeah. When I was doing the EverDrive episode, I saw that on the SD card. I was like, oh, you know, I forgot this even existed.
Dr. Mario? It's heavy. It's heavy, too.
What do you mean?
Like, it's a heavy cart.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I think F-Zero is a bit of a heavy cart, too.
Yeah.
I think, right? It feels like about like F-Zero. Like, you know, the weird thing about that game is that it's got this, like, Wario Land 3 theme. Which is, like, really, really random.
Really?
Yeah, like,
I was just playing Mario Land 4 a little bit today for the next episode, just to kind of see how it looks on the device that I'm going to be showing.
So like in the versus mode, like the story mode or whatever, if you want to call it that, in Dr. Mario 64, like the enemies that you fight are like from Wario Land 3, which is super random, I think.
Yeah. I gotta really start playing more games.
Yeah.
It's been like, you know, it's been tough. It's been, but you know, I need to like prioritize just like playing some of these things that I just like haven't had a chance to.
Absolutely.
I gotta start messing, like quit screwing around with my setup and just play games.
Yeah.
It's about time, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to make some time. I mean, you know, I definitely went on a bit of a binge after finishing the Game Boy episode.
Oh yeah,
which was
hard earned, well earned. Yeah,
I needed it.
Yeah, should we talk about like what we're going to be releasing probably like you know the week this week?
Oh yeah, yeah. So. It's going to be... Corey's going to be working on an episode.
Yeah, I'm working on an episode for... I wanted it to be this weekend, but my wife has a whole bunch of, like, work obligations and is going to be working late all week, and that gives me very little time to work on the episode to get it out, like, by this weekend. So it's probably going to be, like, early to mid next week. But in the meantime... We have something else planned.
It's not an episode.
It's not an episode.
But it's going to be a video. We're going to make a video. This is sort of an update on the Framemeister situation because we get a lot of questions about it. A lot of people are asking, you know, why is the Framemeister $800 right now?
What are we going to do now that's going away?
Yeah.
Or like what is even going on with it? And it's a lot of people are panicking, I think.
And there's a lot of confusion. People don't have all the facts. People don't know really, you know, like what the best ways to buy it are. You know, people are wondering, should we wait for a successor? What about the OSSC? So we address a lot of that stuff, you know, just to sort of help people hopefully make some more informed decisions.
Right. You know, it's I think that it's a good thing for us to do. And, you know, we never anticipated to be like in a position where we'd like, oh, we're going to do an update video. Mm-hmm. But I think that it would be helpful for a lot of people.
So this guy has these wings, and I feel fairly sure that he does not have them in the final game.
I can see why they would remove them.
It looks kind of goofy.
Cameo, that was great.
So that is like that's kind of the idea, and that's probably going to be out like midweek, I think. So at least they get something on the channel for people. Because you know, like if I it just has turned out to the way that it's just not going to happen in time. I mean, my son's birthday is on Tuesday, and you know, like my wife has this work thing. It's like goes late until on Tuesday night and late on Thursday night.
Okay.
So it's just been it's just going to be really tough.
Before you were born,
so in the meantime, like we're going to do that, and then we'll have this.
Nobody really. So he just said
update.
Elves. So they were definitely calling them elves, at least at this point. Even though he's clearly got wings.
Every tribe had a leader, part of our council. Thorn was the troll's leader, but
all of this dialogue.
So he made plans to get
the dialogue and voices and everything is completely redone for the final game.
Yeah.
You know, and they definitely changed how the story is presented in small ways. Or big. I mean, it's like it's subtle stuff. Like they changed like how the Mystic is presented quite extensively, but the cutscenes sort of still happen at the same time. They just kind of changed the content. And the cutscenes are not as fleshed out. Like this scene did not happen here in the Enchanted Kingdom. It happened, I believe, like still in that forest area.
I saw somebody asked about the TurboGrafx-16 episode. We're like putting all the pieces together for it currently. It's on our schedule. I think like we have like a deadline. I'm very close to purchasing a SuperGrafx for it. Be kind of a neat thing to have for one thing, but it'll also be like something that we want to be able to show in the episode. Tri just got a PC Engine with PC Engine and Super CD-ROM briefcase.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, it's not Super CD-ROM, but I got the CD-ROM system card.
Okay.
So I'm guessing I'm going to have to unlock the next area somehow, and I don't know exactly how that's going to happen. Do I need to talk to the Mystic? I wasn't paying that much attention to what Hallis was saying, so maybe I should have. Are you able to hot swap creatures by holding down the fit? Oh, are you talking like when you go into like that that radial menu that had all of them on it? I actually didn't use that in the game. I kind of in the final game, I thought that was kind of messy. It didn't work that well.
Yeah.
And I preferred going into the menu and being like, okay, I think I'm going to take these with me right now. So you can normally equip three, but there is a hot swap thing later. But right now I've only got three, so it doesn't really matter. I think it was this guy at this gate in the final game. He's like, oh man, this is the cushiest job in the world. This gate's been sealed for so long and nothing comes through it. And then when you unlock the gate later, he's like, you know, why don't you think about other people? I am not sure what I should be doing though to unlock that gate.
go down to the dungeons. Be careful.
Oh, I think he wants me to go to the dungeons. Maybe one of the things is down there. I didn't really go there in the final game much because there seemed to be some optional stuff, but it didn't seem terribly important.
So did you get your system card, your 3.0 card, like working all the time now?
I plugged it in and it worked, and I didn't unplug it and try it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like some sticky stuff on the contacts.
Oh.
I think I got
so you kind of were going, you were tweeting about it the other day, is like you there was like a receipt in there.
Yeah.
From purchasing in like 1990 or something.
It was like July 1990 or something like that.
How cool is that?
And the receipt just seemed to be printed on like a higher quality paper with like high quality ink. Like it just holds up a lot better than what we're used to here. I think because I think a receipt from that time would mostly have been faded.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's been in the manual and everything,
yeah.
if there's no sunlight or anything on it.
Yeah, someone tweeted that it was, let me bring up Twitter. What did he call it? It was like, it was someone from Japan or someone who lives in Japan.
Oh, like found the location?
Someone tweeted like a Google Earth picture, but then someone else tweeted... where is it? I don't see it right now. Oh, here. Someone says that was bought from a beaver home. It's like Home Depot in Japan. Also, the items are listed as toys. So.
That's cool, though. That's a cool thing they have. What plans do we have in terms of covering emulation of older consoles via homebrew, i.e. Xbox, Wii, Wii U?
I think in the Xbox 200 series episode and the Wii 200 episode, I feel like we will feature it to some extent in that, but probably not go crazy with it.
Yeah. I mean, emulation is not like it's exactly our forte. We bring it up here and there. I think if we ever do an episode, it'll be like an episode dedicated to like different ways to play consoles on other consoles. I guess that might be a good way to do it, like not on like PC, but like, you know, like playing NES games on a homebrew, like homebrew, you know what I mean? On a Wii or a, like even like the Dreamcast, like using the emulators on the Dreamcast.
But I think like for the Wii episode, like I think it's worth addressing at least to the point of, from a picture quality standpoint, like is just briefly address, is it worth, you know, playing this way?
Yeah, I think we did that. If we did that episode, like Bleem would probably be included in that.
There were a lot of people like upset that Bleem wasn't included in the PlayStation episode.
Yeah, and you know, like maybe it should have been. I just didn't. I totally forgot about it.
I guess I was maybe a little. Well, prejudiced against it, you know, just assuming like, oh, that's got to be outdated and couldn't be worth it anymore. But like a lot of
right.
people were really standing up for it. So, I mean, maybe I misjudged it. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I think a big issue with it, I think, is that I forget if it's using the official BIOS or not, but from what I heard regarding PlayStation emulation, like, you know, even if you're running, like, the official discs, like, it's not 100% legal because if you, unless you're using, like, a alternate BIOS, like, no one, from what I've heard, has made a system BIOS that works as well as the official one. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what I heard. You know, like I say, emulation, not my area of expertise.
Right. Neither of our areas of expertise. I do know that the Phone Dork is working on an episode, and it's going to feature a bunch of emulation. He was struggling with a Raspberry Pi on Facebook yesterday.
You were struggling with a Raspberry Pi after Christmas.
Yep.
And you were very frustrated because we get a lot of comments that are like, we're like, well, just get a Raspberry Pi. Boom, you're done. And
yeah, it's you're not like, that easy.
It's a lot more complex to set up than you think. Maybe for people who are like very well versed in emulation and stuff, maybe it's a little easier, but even beyond that, you think it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, I mean, a friend of mine that I knew back in my hometown, he's like working on a Raspberry Pi thing where he's like done a whole bunch of tweaks, like in like coding tweaks apparently that has got the lag, like cuts the lag down like quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll mess around with that eventually. I just haven't had time or anything to mess around with that.
Curious on our choice of NES. I mean,
we both use.
We both
RGB.
Use RGB top loader, RGB modded top loader. I definitely think is the optimal. But the AV Famicom is also a good choice if you have a good cartridge converter, though because then that way you can use, you know, AV Famicom, you can use cartridges with expansion audio easily, you know, for Famicom. So if you have any interest in Famicom, I think the AV Famicom is a good choice. And in fact, that was my NES for a while. I used a cartridge converter. Because I was the only one that I modded for RGB, but you know, I'm so far into the deep end of this whole thing that I got an actual NES on top of that. So
yeah, I saw Greg Stewart in the chat there. I don't know if he's still around, but Greg, would you be interested in coming on the stream like in a few weeks? And I just got all these issues of EGM, and I thought it'd be really fun to just kind of go through them, and like we could talk about some of like the random stuff that are. I mean, it was like before like you worked for them or anything, but I think it'd be fun to kind of just go through them and just like talk about like stuff that's like things that never came out or like changed form. You know, like I mean, because I like. You know, we have very, very similar perspectives in a lot of ways, but you were much more heavily involved than
not
I was.
At the time, but at the time, you probably had similar perspectives.
Yeah, I just think it'd be really cool to have you on here again.
I think that'd be great. And we wouldn't, and we wouldn't really play anything, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I could set up the camera so we're looking at the magazine at the same
time.
That'd
be awesome.
Yeah. Kind of like our Patreon videos a little bit. I think it'd be fun. They kind of got to go through it. Yeah, so let's do that in a few weeks. I think
that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd be way into that. Do we have a plan for next week's stream yet? I don't guess so.
Not yet. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, at the very... If we like are struggling with a subject... Then I'll just break out the SD card modded Saturn. And we'll play some random Saturn games. Maybe. Or
I mean, you know, it's cool that, like, me streaming is a much more viable option now, it seems.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you have... now that you can do it. I mean, because I've been... streaming like most of the time, I think, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, largely because, you know, I stream every Monday for the backloggery anyway, but also because your connection to YouTube just seems way more reliable.
Yeah.
But if this restream's going to work out, then good deal.
Yeah, we're sending it to Twitch as well. We got to, like...
Uh-oh. What?
Did it crash?
Yeah, it crashed.
We really got to, like, make an overlay for the stream here sometime. Kind of give it a shiny look. I mean, we should, like, update the actual Twitch so that people know that...
I think I might have accidentally just booted it up in, I thought I booted up in Stock Moon. I thought it was supposed to be if you press the eject button, you boot it up in stock mode, official Microsoft mode, but that doesn't seem to always happen. But then I turned it off and then turned it back on during setup and boot in Microsoft mode, so I need to figure that out a bit better. Well, hopefully it saved after getting the...
The dragon?
Well, after getting the blue thing. I mean, I've got the dragon, because I see it on the file select. Fun fact about original Xbox, DVD region was set based on the remote control dongle you plugged in. You know, I forgot about that. Like, you had to have an accessory to play DVD movies on it. Is that right?
Yes.
I totally forgot about that because when I was researching the soft mod, you know, one of the features that kept popping up was dongle-free movie watching. I was like, what? That was, you know, I had very limited exposure to Xbox. My college roommate had one, I think there just wasn't much he wanted to play on it, and I think he got rid of it, and I think he sold it and bought a PS2 instead. Uh-oh, we're on a black screen here. Could our autosave be like in a glitch?
Maybe.
Well, if it can't be salvaged, maybe I'll try one more time. If not, then I'll just boot up the 360 version.
Okay. You're thinking about getting a blinking light win. See a little talk about it.
Yeah, I'd like to get.
You'd like to get a high def NES.
I'd like
with the blink.
Yeah. I've got two front loader NESs. One was my cousin's. So I mean, I'd like to keep one, you know, just pure stock. But yeah. See, this says copyright 2004 on the title screen. So,
really?
At some point in 2004, you know, presumably, unless it was like really early 2005, like that would have been nuts for them to have.
You know, I'm not a fan of title screens where the title is really small up in the corner like that.
I can see that, I think. It's like... I don't know, it feels cheap, I guess.
Yeah.
I heard the music for a bit, but... It had the loading, it had some music. That was better than the last attempt. Should I try one more time, or should I just play the 360 version?
It's not going to crash your stream, is it? Because I have been having that issue.
What was the issue you were having?
where if I switch my video source and it's on screen, it'll like crash the, it'll crash it. It's weird. But I wonder if it would do that in OBS Studio.
Oh, you know what, though? I would have an issue unless I... Well, I could change
if
my...
If you switch scenes to when it's not receiving a game image.
I've never had that issue.
Oh.
I've never had that issue.
Well, it only started with me recently.
My only issue is that I would have to change my Xbox 360 system settings to 1080p. Because I want to capture Cameo in 720 because that's what it is. I'll try it one more time, but I'll get the 360 game off the shelf.
Okay. Is there a save other than the quick save?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't have any batteries in my Xbox controller, my 360 controller, so if this doesn't work, then I'll just show the beginning of the game.
Okay.
But I'll give it one more try.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of time left anyways.
Yeah.
I guess Ultra HDMI is, like, readily available right now, according to Yoshi Knuckles in the chat.
Really?
He says kits are in stock right now at the U.S. distributor, too.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Because it's been, over a year since it came out, and it's been almost unobtainable for a year, though there have been brief times.
Yeah. But both the high def... Oh, he's saying no. He's probably talking about... Maybe he's talking about the high def NES.
Well, it's a similar situation, or has been.
Yes, but now they ordered a ton of them. Okay, Ultra HDMI is out of stock.
But it had some large availability recently, I want to say.
Yeah, GameTech had a whole bunch. That's pretty exciting, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what mods do you feel like you need to have left to get done? Do you want to get done?
Highest priority right now is PC Engine.
Right.
I mean, I guess high def NES is not a super huge priority. I wouldn't get high def NES if it wasn't for the fact that I feel like we should just have one on hand to use for the show.
Right.
Nothing really that I can think of. 3DS capture, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's about what I can think of.
Let's see what I got. I mean, Ultra HDMI, like, I will eventually like to get it done. It's probably my lowest priority right now. I'm going to get a mod chip in my USPS 2, which I actually just arrived. The Mega Video, Voltar is going to put the Mega Video in my Genesis and Master System. I think after that, I'm like done.
Yeah, I guess when I get the PSIO, I'll get a mod chip put into my my RCA jack unit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but the PSIO, I guess, is, like, still pretty spotty.
Yeah. If that gets in a good spot, I wouldn't mind having a second Dreamcast, like, to have some sort of media line.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I mean, I would love to have that, too, because I have one Dreamcast that has a dead drive in it, so I would love to get, like, the GDEMU, which is the SD card loader for that, too. So does she lose all of her transformations?
Right. You start with just three. There's 10 in the whole game. But you start with Chilla, Pummelweed, and Major Ruin.
Is that who you are now?
I'm Chilla.
No, you're Chilla. Chilla!
Oh, the vertical camera is not too modern inversion.
You just realized this?
No,
you can change it.
I changed it on my other file, but...
You know what? I'm glad they allowed you to change it, because, like, Nintendo games did not allow you to change it for a long time.
Yeah.
And that, like, it makes, like, certain games.
A lot of GameCube games now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was all about that.
Yeah.
I was all about that because, especially horizontal, but the problem is that modern games started sort of blending shooting controls with camera controls. And it's so hard to mentally switch that inversion on the fly because I was all about non-inversion for aiming, except in a very few games. Like, to this day, I still prefer inversion for vertical inversion for aiming in like Resident Evil 4 and 5. But the thing is, like, who would do horizontal aiming inversion? That makes no sense, right? But I was all about horizontal inversion for camera controls. Because my logic is... My logic is, you know, that it's like a camera tripod, right? You push the tripod handle left to pan right, and push it right to pan left. So horizontal inversion always just made perfect sense to me, felt totally natural. And then I played Uncharted and Infamous, and I had the hardest time, you know, because in those games you, like, seamlessly go between aiming and just moving the camera control in a third-person perspective. And I just could not, like, I didn't like the fact that, whoa, that troll just, like, skidded across the floor and I didn't even see where it came from. That was weird.
It's like sitting down.
You know, I think I'm at a moment like that right now. There's a lot of times in this game where, like, you've completed the objective that lets you move on, but then enemies are, like, endless, so you just need to move on.
Now I'm, like, thinking about that magazine stream. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If anybody ever has any, like, suggestions of things that they, like, you know, kind of not typical streaming things that they think might be fun for us to do, just, like feel free to let us know.
Like that time I streamed rewiring my setup.
Yeah. But that was, like, that was not a, like,
it was not official. Sunday night. No.
Yeah.
No.
But if people are like interested, like you have some ideas of things they'd like to see. This kind of reminds me of like Metroid Prime. You go through the tunnels and stuff in the ball.
Yeah, you do a lot of that stuff after you get Major Ruin.
If you'd ever stream a PC game, I'd recommend the classic Half-Life.
Classic what?
The first Half-Life.
You know, I finally got the PS2 version of that a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I kept putting it off because it's like more expensive than I think it should be. It's like 15 or 17 bucks, and I feel like it should not be that. You know, it's a lot better than I thought it would be. Like, it's got some pretty frequent load screens, but I think more frequent than the original game. But it's, like, it's 60 frames. The controls are actually, like, really good for a first-person shooter of its time. Like, I was impressed. Like, I wanted to keep playing. And I don't even like the original Half-Life that much. I'm all about Half-Life 2.
You know, like, on that same note, I mean, not recently, but fairly recently, as I got the first Deus Ex on the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it's, like, kind of it's the same way.
Which Deus Ex have you played?
I played the first one on the PC.
Oh, okay.
When I was in college.
You know, everyone was way into the last gen Deus Ex, Human Revolution.
Yeah.
And that was Human Revolution, right? What was the one that came out recently?
That was Mankind Divided.
That's right, right. You know, I didn't like it that much. Like, but people, like, loved that game.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing people, like, kind of didn't like about was, the boss battles. But, like, I just thought the game was just not that fun. And I really thought I would like it, so I was disappointed. But that's the only Deus Ex I've played. And also, this part's really annoying, so I'm probably going to stop. I don't like this part.
The importer says congratulations on reaching 200-plus members on Patreon, which is just like an insane number.
It's really crazy. And we're making some decent money. Patreon's doing some good stuff for us.
Yeah.
We're sort of working right now on, you know, getting the systems and mods we need for a few RGB episodes, but soon hopefully we're hoping to put some of that money into travel for like, you know, interviews and you know, other exciting stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
we're kind of in an exciting spot with that stuff, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we have kind of a megaton episode like in the works. It's not an RGB episode. It's a mini doc, and it's kind of a it's kind of a big deal. It's a big secret. And like the state of the Patreon is like kind of allowing us to maybe travel to perhaps do some interviews in person.
We don't really know yet. I mean,
it hasn't been confirmed
yet. The travel might not happen, but the episode is happening regardless. But if the travel happens, it's going to just like launch the quality of that episode into the stratosphere. It's like,
yes,
going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. It's kind of a dream project.
It's something I feel like you talked about before we were even considering doing this type of stuff.
Right. And I mean, it's kind of funny because the seeds for this happening was like laid in a stream.
It was
in a live stream.
And
even that was laid years randomly. It's like the circumstances in which that this is happening are so crazy and
yeah, it happened through absolutely no effort of your own.
Right.
It just happened.
But I mean, it's like the pieces were falling in place starting about 5 years ago, randomly, because like I met a specific person and that person happened to know somebody else who just happened to live, like when I moved here to Cincinnati, like lives like down the street from me. It's insane. And it almost feels like destiny. You know what I mean? Like it's like if I could ever think of myself like as a kid thinking like, oh, like I'm gonna be doing something like this.
yeah. It's regardless of whether the interviews happen in person the way that we want it to, it's still going to be like an insane episode, and you're still doing something. You're working with footage that is kind of insane that you've got your hands on right now.
Yes.
It's nuts. It's awesome. And we can't say what it is. I don't know if we're even going to really say or be able to say what the episode is until we release it.
Right.
It might just be out and it's going to blow your minds.
Well, hopefully it will. Some people might be like, ugh.
It's...
Who knows?
It's cool, though. It's cool. It's definitely something to be excited for. Actually, we're working on several things that are going to release, you know, in the next few months. I think people are going to be really excited for.
There's some pretty cool.
There's a few cool things we aren't going to be talking about just yet, but you're going to be seeing things as soon as within the next month, the next 2 months, things that we aren't talking about right now that people are going to be impressed with, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm pretty pumped about it.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. I just got to get this. I mean, I guess this thing I'm working on for next week is kind of something that there's some videos on it out there, but it's never really like doesn't have a lot. It's kind of a rare machine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not like something like amazingly awesome necessarily, but it's a unique thing that some people talk about, but it's just not really been shown off.
Right. Exactly. And you know, it's not like this mind-blowing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that like hasn't really been. Like, it's not like a ton of info.
It's a unique thing that's worth, you know, worth doing for game preservation history's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what is on tap for.
Sometime next week.
No, it is not the Mega Drive Iowa Boombox combo. I wish it was. But it'd be cool. But
he's got one of those, right, Greg Seward? He's got one.
Yeah. There is a RGB Skirt Switchers episode coming along fairly soon. I mean, I feel like I just got like kind of the last piece for it. And that is, I mean, that's also on the upcoming schedule. Like it's in the forefront of our minds about it.
Yeah. No, hard to guess when the next system specific episode is, but hopefully not too long. But it's like there's a lot.
But it's going to be TurboGrafx-16,
almost certainly. I would say I need to get mine modded, but almost certainly. I need to like prioritize getting a few more games on hand for it too.
Yeah,
just so that not everything is Bomberman 93.
Yeah, but you know.
All right,
is that gonna do it?
Anything else we want to talk about? I feel like we're wrapping it up wrapping up early.
We're wrapping up kind of early. It's okay, though. I mean, the episode, I mean, this week was a little, you know, it's like, did all right
for
a game episode.
For just a plain old game episode, you know, it's it's almost 10,000 now, which I'm more than happy with. I mean, you know, that's not, those aren't the videos that blow up on the channel, and that's fine. I don't go into them expecting that. They're comparatively less work, and I just do them because I want to do them. And I know too that there are people who watch the channel who like those, who like how we look at game focused stuff. You know, we feel like our sort of tech episodes are kind of like more the priority because we know that's what people are really expecting out of us, but that doesn't,
and we have a lot of fun doing them, but yeah, you know, like game episodes are, we kind of view them as like kind of like a downtime
yeah,
where we can sit back and just like play something we want to play and talk about
yeah them. And a lot of times are the episodes that we've like dreamed of doing since the beginning, like, ooh, I really want to look at that game, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I like about having the little rare after Nintendo sub series, is because it always, even though people keep warning me, you know, like, ugh, like a lot of people are really warning me about Perfect Dark Zero, but, you know, it's still like, even if the game quality could be questionable moving forward, it's still like it gives me like something to look forward to. Like, I always know there's going to be another rare game episode that I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyway,
and, you know, like I'm dying to do Phantasy Star 3. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I just want to start playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just said, you know, like, last night I kind of spoiled, like, I really like the game. So, like, that one is, like, that's going to be one of my next game-based episodes. That's probably not going to be until, like, at this rate, probably not going to be until, like, May.
Or next year. No. You need to make it a priority to do it this year. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's happening. Like, I think the two main game episodes that I want to do this year's Phantasy Star 3, and I want to do a series on the Assault Suit games, a single video of the entire series of all the Assault Suit games, like Assault Suit Lanos, Assault Suit Vulcan.
I want to make some, there's like 2 to 3 multi-game episodes that are pretty high priorities in my mind. Who knows if I'll get to them all this year or not, but
yeah,
we'll see. Anyway,
anyways,
thanks for watching, everyone.
Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next weekend.
Later.
Good night.